If you have a kid, it's likely you recognize Mo Willems' name or at least have seen his work. He's developed a cult following as an Emmy Award-winning scriptwriter and filmmaker for Sesame Street, Sheep in the City, which he created for the Cartoon Network, and The Offbeats on Nickelodeon. Most recently, he's written books like Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus, The Pigeon Finds a Hot Dog, and Time to Pee, along with Nuffle Bunny. His current publisher is Hyperion. I almost said Time to Peel. I'm very pleased to welcome Mo Willems to my show today. Hi.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Do people who write for children, whether in books or for TV shows like Sesame Street, understand children better than the rest of us?
I think probably they don't understand children better, and that's why they write for them. Being a writer for children is like being a writer for yourself. The difference between children and adults generally is that they're shorter, not stupider.
But there is a big difference between a preschooler and someone who's just started going to school. And when you were at Sesame Street, and most of these books also, they're aimed at very young kids.
Yeah, they're aimed at young readers. I mean, I think the one thing that you can't do when you're writing for children is use irony, because they don't have any previous experience. And what you want to do, as you do in any writing, is you want to take the kids seriously. I find that it's easier to try and make them laugh, because that way I know that I'm successful or not.
And that comes out of the fact that before you did all of this, you were a stand-up comic?
Yeah, I was. I've had many failed careers, and stand-up was one of them. So always trying to get a laugh from somebody.
Well, stand-up comics are often accused of aiming at the lowest common denominator, and what you wound up doing was going below the 13-year-old.
Right, the youngest common denominator, perhaps.
And many people who start writing for kids do it because they make up stories for their own kids. But didn't you get into this before you had...
No, I got into it as a young man. I got into it basically because I was an animator and I studied animation. And when you graduate from school with an animation degree, you might as well have had a philosophy degree or something like that. And there wasn't really much of a market for doing films for older people. I did do films for festivals and independent films. And then I found myself making films for younger people and finding that it was actually more challenging. You have to be more honest. You have to be more direct, I think, if you're writing for kids.
Do you have any way of gauging whether kids like the book or not? Because kids aren't going to buy the book. It's usually their parents.
No, the grandparent, it's grandparent bait, basically, any book. But I, like I say, I think it's the laughter. If a kid really gets into a book, A, they'll laugh, and B, they'll play the book. And to me, it's more than just the reading experience. I want to see these kids pretending to be my characters and interacting and drawing their own stories. So for me, when I get letters from children and they've drawn their own versions of my books, you know, outside of copyright infringement, I think it's a lovely thing.
And now you have your own child.
I do have my own child.
You can use her as a kind of a test marker.
I do use her as a guinea pig a little bit. We put her in a cage and we flash things in front of her. And if she giggles, she gets, you know, a little bit of extra ice cream or something.
What did you do in the TV world?
I
know you were a big success.
I don't know if I was a big success.
Won Emmys.
Know,
that's
I was a journeyman. You know, in terms of winning Emmys, I guess, you know, they were having a sale. If you work at Sesame Street, you would get a couple Emmys. What I did was primarily I worked for two departments. I was a script writer. That was everything that the Muppets would say on the show. And then also I got to make short films. And that was really the most exciting thing for me, because I was allowed to make, say, four or five films a year, and one of them got to be an experiment. One of them got to be a style that I hadn't done before.
Well, one of the things about Sesame Street is that it's written as much for the parents' enjoyment as for the kids. There are all sorts of in-jokes that kids really can't understand. That changes when you write children's books.
I don't think so. I think it's the same. You remember, in a picture book, the adult has to read the book. And if it's a good book, they're going to have to read it over and over and over again. So you want to make sure that the adult gets a couple laughs as well. Because, at least I know as a father, my daughter may love a book, but if it drives me crazy, I will steer her to something else.
Is writing for children's television all that much different than writing children's books?
I think it is, because of basically the math. There's a television show is so expensive to make, and so you end up compromising a lot more on what you want to say, because there are a lot of producers and things like that. You're really asking a company to give you millions of dollars. And if you're writing a book, you're only asking for thousands of dollars. So you can be a lot more individual. You can have a much more specific voice.
In television, you also work with a lot of different people. It's a collaborative effort.
Certainly, it's a collaborative
effort. Now you sit alone and write little drawing and do little drawings for kids.
It's certainly a little bit collaborative still. I mean, I've got a great editor, and I have an art director, and I have a wife, and all of them will be happy to tell me I'm not being funny and my drawings are terrible. But yes, it is a little bit more solitary, and that I really enjoy. That is one of the reasons I got back into books. When I was making films for Sesame Street, I was animating the entire films, which meant that I was alone in my little Brooklyn studio drawing day after day after day. And then as I became a little bit more successful and got my own shows, I became a manager, and I couldn't draw anymore. So going and doing books is another example of just trying to get back to being at home and drawing.
Are you a rarity in that you write and draw?
I don't know if I'm a rarity so much. I think that I'm a rarity in that I'm someone who can draw but who likes writing more. Most people who are illustrators and authors, they prefer the drawing, and they really consider themselves artists first. I consider myself a writer who, you know, can pick up a pen every now and then.
Now, you draw well, I don't know whether you went to art school or not.
No, I went to film school. I went to NYU, and that was to learn how to animate, but not necessarily how to draw. NYU was a place where I think primarily they taught you how to advertise yourself rather than your films.
Oh, so many children's works are mini morality plays. They're teaching kids something.
Right.
And at a certain point, kids start zoning out. They get the idea that they're being told to be good or...
Exactly. Well, what I try to do with my books very seriously is I try to actually put as little in them as possible so that the kid will bring their own sensibility to it and will really get their own lessons from themselves. I believe if you tell what a book is about, then that idea is trapped in the pages. You just have to show.
Although in Sesame Street, there is always this long list of educators who have consulted on the show.
Right, but that's not really morality so much as being able to recognize the letter Q.
Did you do the letter Q?
Letter Q was a great letter. I found that it was a lot of fun to do. It had a nice circular shape, easy to draw. I was a big fan of the letter W. I did a lot of W films.
Yeah.
The vowels, not so much. I didn't enjoy the vowels.
I specialize in W.
Yes, absolutely. Consonants were really my thing. Sometimes Y.
Well, I can understand that. Y being, sometimes Y because it's both a consonant and
exactly.
A vowel.
Exactly. Y leans both ways, as it were.
So how many drafts do you wind up doing for a book like this to make it as empty as possible?
Your own admission. Exactly. The idea is you want to take out as much as possible. So pretty much every draft, if I can take out 5 or 10 words and a couple lines, then it does better. It takes me about half a year to actually produce a book, and I'm thinking about a book for about a year beforehand.
I'm sure you draw upon personal experiences. For example, in Nuffle Bunny, a kid loses her special toy. Did your daughter lose her special toy?
Yeah, everything in that book is true except for the parts that I made up, primarily.
So you didn't have to find it at any cost?
No. That book was one where actually I tried to cheat. What I decided was I hated drawing backgrounds. So I thought, what I'll do, I'll take some photographs of backgrounds and that'll make life a lot easier. But then when I got the photographs back, I realized that the Brooklyn that I was taking photographs of wasn't the Brooklyn that I saw. There were air conditioners in the windows and garbage cans and all these things that my eyes sort of got rid of. And what I had to learn how to do was to find the emotional truth by lying. Spend a lot of time in the computer excising all the ugliness out of the photographs so that they were closer to how they felt when I walked down the street.
So all of the air conditioners were eliminated?
They were eliminated. The garbage cans were eliminated, the graffiti, et cetera, et cetera.
Of course, that ruins the quality of life in Park Slope, where you live, doesn't it? And people need those air conditioners, need the garbage cans.
Yes, I suppose that the cartoon characters are probably sweating a little bit more, and they've got some more garbage behind their houses. But, anything for art.
And then there are the pigeon books. You know, talk about making a mess.
Right, right, exactly. Well, Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus was my first book, and I think that it did well because it's about as punk rock as you can get for a kid. The idea is that you have to tell the pigeon that he can't drive the bus. So I've been to libraries where you've had 400 or 500 kids yelling no at the top of their lungs in a library. Well, that's pretty cool.
That's success. Because the kids have really gotten it.
They're into it. I mean, I think that every kid loves to yell the word no, and every kid loves to be able to sort of turn the tables on, you know, the parents are telling them that they can't do anything, but here's their opportunity to tell a pigeon that he can't do what he wants.
Do you think that urban kids are more likely to respond to books like that because they're more likely to see a lot of pigeons?
Perhaps. I mean, the majority of the kids in this country are urban in one way or another, so, but I have found that when I traveled with the Knuffle Bunny book, which happens in a laundromat, that suburban kids had no idea what a laundromat was. So a little bit of education there.
Parents who are concerned about a good diet might be upset about the pigeon finds a hot dog.
That's right. It is primarily about processed food and sharing. It's not probably not the best book for your young vegan child, I would say. But all kids love hot dogs. And, you know, honestly, I love hot dogs as well.
How much do you take the parents into consideration or the grandparents?
You know, I'm really trying to make something that I think is good and that the kids will enjoy. I mean, the grandparents are important on one level because, you know, they do buy the books. And I want them to be amused. I want everybody to be amused. You know, I'm a little bit of a, you know, a whore that way. I want everybody to laugh, not just the children.
But the kids obviously often like things that parents don't like. In fact, like things because the garbage pail kids, for example, horrified all adults and seemed to just give so much pleasure to all the kids.
Right, that's true. But I think that adults, or at least, you know, hopefully the adults that will buy my books, they like to be a little bit naughty and they like to have a little bit of humor. I'm not really, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but the kids are the primary focus.
In Knuffle Bunny, the little girl is trying to tell her dad that her stuffed bunny is missing, but she just doesn't have the language to tell him that, and he is totally clueless. Do you remember that kind of frustration when you were a kid?
I remember almost every kind of frustration when I was a child. My childhood was completely frustrating, but I think that that book came particularly from seeing my daughter's frustration. She really, really early on wanted to communicate and was unable to because she didn't have the words. In fact, her first sentence was, "I am not a baby." And her first steps were turning away from me. So she's a very independent young girl.
Do you think kids don't read enough these days? Did you read a lot when you were a kid?
You know, I didn't read terribly much as a child, partially because the sort of stuff that I liked to read wasn't considered reading. I read Peanuts. And I read Tintin. And when I was a child, that was considered to be trash. I mean, I think now things have changed a little bit, and people see that as a legitimate way to spend your time and to read.
Especially since kids these days spend so much of their time watching television.
Right.
And they're not reading very much at all.
Well, you know, it depends. And I don't think that television is necessarily a bad thing. You know, the Vietnam War was stopped by television. We know what a Maasai warrior looks like because of television. It's a pretty good medium. And there's some very good shows out there. What I look for in any form of entertainment, be they books or television, is something that the kid can lock onto and then play afterwards. It's not just the experience of 20 minutes reading a book, half an hour watching a television show. It's those hours afterwards that they're out in the yard and they're pretending to be a character from their favorite show or their favorite book, or they're drawing or they're writing and they're creating on their own. That really is what it's about for me.
Well, what do you think is the best way parents can encourage their children to read more when their kids resist?
Well, I think that the idea, A, is to just to make books fun and to choose fun books. For guys who are reluctant readers, a buddy of mine, John Cheska, has a site called guysread.com, and that has just a slew of books that guys and kids from any age group would enjoy. So, you know, do some research, find fun stuff.
Whenever I speak to writers, they'll always tell me about the book that they're reading at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Does this mean that you read a lot of other people's kids' books?
I do a little bit, but I try to remain ignorant. I think that ignorance is good in this industry because it goes in waves, and all of a sudden there'll be a lot of books about the first day of school or something like that, and I don't want to get caught up in those waves. I'm really trying to just find real good stories and sort of tell them on my own. On the other hand, because I've got a daughter, I'm reading a lot of books to her, and I'm certainly a fan of a lot of people. The great thing about children's books, picture books in particular, is you can't really imitate a great guy. Kevin Hankes draws in a very particular style, and his storytelling is very unique. John Cheska, etc. I can't be those guys, so I can enjoy reading their material.
But you also can watch what your child does. Does she do her own books?
Oh, absolutely. I think her books are better than mine. She thinks her books are better than mine. She sits around and draws all day and tells stories. And certainly I find inspiration in being around her.
And has that influenced the way you write and draw?
I think it has to a certain degree. I mean, certainly Knuffle Bunny is a story about her. So there I am already ripping her off a little bit. The book that I have coming out this fall called Leonardo the Terrible Monster, the title came from Trixie. She burst into my office one day and said, "I'm a terrible monster." And that expression just seemed very funny to me because terrible is both good and bad, that a book came out of it.
Is this what you think you'll be doing the rest of your life? I don't mean that to mean anything other than
an innocent
question.
Well, I hope to live more than a couple years, yeah.
Yeah, and any desire to try young adult fiction, at least as Trixie gets older?
Absolutely. I mean, and I have written some older stuff. I have a book coming out next spring that is really for much older children. When I finished up college, I went around the world for a year, and I made a drawing every day. And at the end of the year, I had 365 drawings from about 30 countries, and I didn't know what to do with them. And now, 15 years later, I've annotated them, and we're going to put that out as sort of a graphic journal. So that is for older kids, and I'm excited about that. I'm curious to see how it goes.
Meanwhile, you let us all know what the kids think of you with the cover of Leonardo the Terrible Monster. It says, "Your pal Mole Willems presents Your Pal."
That's right.
Well my pal too. And the books are published by Hyperion. My great thanks to Mo Willems, Willems, in case you don't know anything about popular children's books. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.